The key to survival may be forgetting about making it back to the airport. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also of Bob Miller Flight Training in Western New York. And Bob's newsletter is on hiatus for the summer. We're back with Bob in real time this time to talk about something that's in the news, not because we necessarily have any answers for the news story itself, but because it inspires a conversation about general aviation, and that is the 747 that went down with smoke in the cockpit, the UPS flight a few days ago. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today, and welcome back.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
All right. Now, we obviously have some news about what happened to this UPS 747 freighter that went down in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. We don't really have enough to know exactly what their situation was or draw any conclusions. What it does do, though, is it brings up questions that we could ponder about what would we do in a general aviation aircraft faced with the same issue. And it does happen. Let's start by talking about your situation and what it makes you think about.
Well, you know, of all of the in-flight emergencies, there is none more potentially disastrous than a fire on board an aircraft. I think the only other one that comes to mind would be a mid-air collision. Those are the two nearly always, unfortunately, fatal causes or causes of fatal accidents. And while the mid-air collision is largely preventable by, you know, very careful scanning of the sky continually, fires in an aircraft can occur for any number of reasons. And fortunately for myself, in some 10,000 hours of flying, I've only had one incident where we did have smoke in the cockpit, and I, as I look back in my reaction to the smoke in the cockpit incident, I shudder to recall my own indecision at the time and almost bewilderment that took just too many precious seconds to help resolve. And then once I resolved, it was an electrical fire or an electrical, you know, short circuit, which caused some burning of some wire shielding. As soon as we turned off the master switch, the smoke cleared up and the smell went away, and I motored along merrily, overflying a perfectly suitable airport directly beneath me to fly another 12 miles to my home airport. And I wonder now, in fact, I don't wonder, that was an unfortunate decision on my part. Clearly, I should have put that airplane down as soon as practicable, which would have been the airport that I was flying over at the time. When you're looking at the situation and you're counting the logistical headaches and the problems that result by landing short, I chose to continue on. The situation in Dubai, and you're absolutely right, and our prayers and our heartfelt condolences, of course, go out to those crew members' families. We don't know exactly what happened there, but we do know that it happened very quickly. And because fires in cockpits or in airplanes happen, we have to make that job of getting the airplane down on the ground right now our first priority. And that's something I fear that not all of us are prepared to do.
Well, and there's a little bit of a different situation, too, here that says what we do know in the news stories, it happened about 45 minutes into the flight, which means they were probably at significant altitude. Altitude and airspeed are your friend, and the only time you can have too much altitude is when you're on fire. I've also heard that the only time you can have too much fuel on board is when you're on fire.
That's right.
These guys, unfortunately, probably had both.
Yes, and you're instantly forced into this risk management assessment process, and this is something that we have to practice continually as GA, as all pilots, practicing emergencies like this. Fire, smoke in the cockpit emergencies require immediate action. It's something that we do not make priority one looking for the most suitable landing spot. We do not make priority one trying to defuse and resolve the problem in the air. Priority one, in my opinion, is to point the airplane downward. Start the airplane down, because even at 2,000 feet a minute in a GA airplane, which is about pretty much all we can do without folding the wings up, It still takes 3 minutes to lose 6,000 feet. So in 3 minutes, a fire on board can do an awful lot of damage. So with my own students, whenever we simulate fires or smoke in the cockpit, job one, point the airplane downward right now. And then on the way down, start doing the normal troubleshooting. And that, I think that's the point that needs to be made. We have to get that airplane on the ground right now.
When we come back from the break, Bob, let's talk about kind of a generic checklist for a GA aircraft where the pilot might find himself in this situation. Bob Miller is my guest. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, talking about cockpit fires. This is something that obviously is very serious. There could be a number of different types of them, and it's never good news, and it very much limits your time and options, especially if you're at altitude. You've already talked about, I guess, the first item on a checklist, and that's get the airplane pointed down toward the ground if you have smoke in the cockpit. And I remember being taught in flight school that if it's an engine fire, that's also a strategy to try to limit the damage from an engine fire. What are some of the other things we should have on that list?
The second thing, in my opinion, after pointing the airplane downward, is we have to make a quick assessment. What is the source of the fire? If it's an electrical fire, certainly we do not necessarily need to kill the engine and shut off fuel supply just yet. If we can resolve the problem by turning the master switch off and eliminating the source of the electrical conflict, and we can make that decision very quickly, then fine. We shut down the electrical, and then we again, in my opinion, put the airplane down as soon as possible, because we don't know what kind of ancillary damage may be up there or related to that. If we have oil all over the windscreen, like we threw a piston rod and a fire is now burning, just remember there are three things that are required to produce and sustain a fire. One is a spark. That's already happened. Two is oxygen or air. There's nothing we can do to limit that. And third, of course, is fuel. So job number two, after pointing the airplane down, is get the fuel supply turned off by pulling the fuel shutoff valve, pulling the mixture to idle cutoff, but certainly getting that fuel supply valve turned off. That's my opinion, would be number two.
There probably isn't much more on that list.
Yeah, but there is a couple things that we have to get in there. And unfortunately, in most checklists that I see commercially prepared, and I'm including Cessna, airplane manufacturer that with whom we fly the most, there's no reference to getting off a mayday call. I haven't seen it in a fire checklist or in an engine failure checklist. We've got to get a mayday call off. Let ATC know of our situation, and just as soon as the mayday word is heard, we'll have instant response from ATC. I guarantee it. Mention fire, and there will be fire rescue on the ground to meet us. So if we've got a fire and we're going to come down as quickly as possible, there's a good high probability we're going to hit fairly hard. And certainly not in the smoothest landing area that would exist out there. So the likelihood, unfortunately, of injuries, while we may survive the crash, injuries could be significant or even severe. It would be, having fire rescue right there is an immediate objective. So I certainly want to get that call off. Number three, then securing your passenger, securing the cockpit, opening, cracking the door just before impact. That's incredibly important. Getting blankets and cushions to protect the face and upper body for impact. These are things that need to be taken care of. And then you have to consider what options do you have depending on the terrain or water that you're going to hit. You know, there are certain things that need to be considered at that point as well. But an explosion resulting from a fire that reaches the fuel tank or a burning through of the wing spar so that the wing, you know, is lost in flight. Well, then there are no options left.
All right. Well, I will tell you that the one time this happened to me, I did not have a fire on board as such. I had smoke in the cockpit, was dropping a valve into a cylinder in an old Continental four-cylinder engine in a rented plane. And mm-hmm. I think because the plane was rented and I was horrified at the prospect of putting it down anywhere other than back home, I had enough altitude that I was going to be close to being able to glide. And so I kept that engine running, figuring I couldn't hurt it anymore. Mm-hmm. And did make it back to the airport. And they were thrilled that I did. But in retrospect, I think the correct procedure would have been to look for a bean field.
Exactly right. I mean, this is so important. So many of us have tried to bring that airplane back to our home airport to save the airplane. Just as soon as an incident like that occurs, I tell myself at that point, title to this airplane just transferred immediately to the insurance company. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, we have only one responsibility, and that is to get our passengers out and ourselves out of that aircraft with minimal injury, which is one last point on that checklist. After the airplane hits the ground and there's still a fire brewing, the next step is I had a dear friend who suffered an engine failure fire in a Cessna 206, brand new aircraft. Mm-hmm. He managed to struggle with two broken legs and a broken back. He pulled himself 50 feet away from the airplane immediately after impact, and then the airplane exploded. Had he just been satisfied to have gotten on the ground and still alive and not exited the aircraft, the ensuing fire and explosion would have gotten him. So you have to get clear of that aircraft, particularly if it, again, is on fire.
Well, Bob, I hope this discussion never has to become an issue for anybody who's actually flying, but we know that it does every once in a while, and hopefully it will lead us all to think about these things maybe on the ground or even during a passenger briefing and not have to deal with it just sporadically without forethought in the air.
The only time we should have to deal with it, Paul, really, is during our recurrent training, and that we should include a fire emergency every time we engage in recurrent training. That's an absolute must. But you're right, it doesn't happen very often, but what we do in those first couple of seconds will spell the difference between a heartbreak and survival.
All right. Well, Bob, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
Bob Miller's newsletter is on temporary hiatus, but you can find the archives at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.